A 5'10" senior on the women's basketball team in Manhattanville College in Purchase, New York, is attracting national attention, not because of the way she plays, but because she stands with her back to the flag when the national anthem is played before a game. Toni Smith says she is protesting inequalities embedded in the American system. Some of her teammates are angry, while others support her right to express herself. Commentator Frank DeFord suggests that sometimes players have to sacrifice their own interests for those of the team.
Now, first of all, this is surely a coach's nightmare. To order a player to stand facing the flag is to immediately suffer charges of denying a student her rights to freedom of expression. On the other hand, to allow a member of a team to go her own way violates the first tenet of teamwork, of being part of the whole that you have volunteered to join. What would you do if you were the Manhattanville coach? It isn't an easy choice, is it? Well, I would tell Toni Smith this. You have made your point, and I appreciate how fervently you believe in what you're doing. But you are one of us on this team, and once you put on our Manhattanville uniform, then you cede certain individual prerogatives. Once the game is over, you may protest in any fashion you wish. But you made the personal decision to try out for this team, so now you are one of us, and you must respect us as a group, even if you don't respect the flag that the rest of us do. In a real way, it seems to me, the player is using the team, taking advantage of her teammates. The Star Spangled Banner is played for the game, for the team's playing. And as a member of the team, she should honor that and not co-opt the opportunity for her own ends. We make all sorts of concessions to our freedom when we participate on a team, and although the freedom of political expression may be higher on the scale than, say, obeying training rules, the principle is the same. Indeed, our courts have held that even high school athletes must accept being singled out for drug testing because they chose to play sports, whereas drug testing is not constitutional for the entire student body. Of course, it's also true that some coaches are bullies and despots who misuse their authority. But the team is the ideal of sacrifice, and when an individual breaches that unity, that goal, then something noble is lost. Having said that, it's also probably true that games and teams may have been themselves co-opted for showy patriotic purposes. Whoever would have thought that the last refuge of patriotism would be the beginning of a ball game? Myself, I rather like it that we find reasons to play our national anthem in common places of joy, like stadiums and arenas. If the Star Spangled Banner is only rendered on military or state occasions or at funerals and memorials, we would come not to think warmly of our anthem, would we? But too often lately, the anthem seems to have provided an excuse for other expressions, invariably more martial in tone than democratic. Specifically, this business of having a squadron of fighter jets swoop over the stadium as soon as the home of the brave and the land of the free has lifted into the air. In peacetime or wartime, I really don't think we need that sort of military display as a benediction to our games. It's enough, I think, to face the flag and hear the anthem together.
The comments of Frank DeFord, senior contributing writer at Sports Illustrated. He joins us each Wednesday from member station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut.